Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My weekly cleaning advice column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Esquire.com, and you should send your questions about cleaning or anything else, really, to joliekerr@gmail.com. With me, as always, is my partner in grime, Dave Lozo. Hey, Dave.
Hi.
Missed you.
What's
Welcome
up?
Back.
Hi.
What? This is going to be like an interrupting war
what?
This whole time.
What are you talking about?
Stop.
I don't know what you mean.
Behave yourself. I did miss you. Don't make me take that back.
I don't believe her.
And if you keep it up, I'll throw you out of the studio because I don't even need you today.
See? Exactly.
We have a very special guest with us today.
Oh, the topic is semen. You need me here. You need the...
I do,
come
Dave.
On.
Dave, I need you. I can't deny that. All right, but we have a very special guest here today because the topic is semen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when we're talking about semen, we like to welcome New York Magazine sex columnist Maureen O'Connor into the studio. Hi,
wow.
Maureen.
Wow. I'm so proud to be one of your semen go-tos.
You are the semen go-to.
It's like when a plane disappears, they always call that one captain guy to be on CNN. They're like, you're our semen.
Oh, yeah.
Semen. You're, like you're our semen person.
I'm that.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I'll take it. Why not?
Yeah. I would be very proud of that.
We're going to go live to Maureen O'Connor at the semen headquarters. What can you tell us about the semen and where it's been and where it's going to go?
So as we've already alluded to, we're going to be talking a lot about semen today. Maureen and I have a mystery that we were working on unraveling that we're going to talk about on this episode. And we're very,
yes.
very excited about it.
The most perverted Scooby-Doo episode of all time.
This has been really fun for me, I have to say. But before we get into it, we want to remind you that we offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to our premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite our show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to check out all the packages we're offering and to select the level of giving that's right for you. Your support helps us so much, and we'd love to hear from you if there are rewards you'd like us to consider making available. We have some new patrons to thank, and I am particularly excited about these new patrons because one of the two of them, if you can believe it, for episode 69... is patron number 69. We have exactly 69 patrons going into this episode. I was thrilled because, I love symmetry. The only thing is that patron 69 did not actually want to be identified as patron 69.
Oh, so we can make up the name then, right?
There are two. So I'm going to tell you the name of the two new patrons, but I won't tell you which one was 68 and which one was 69. So...
they just didn't want to be identified as 69?
Well, he sent like a very funny... message back to me, and he said, I like to be clean of home and of mind, so let's just call me patron 70. Like, it was he was just riffing, like, he was being funny.
Okay,
so but I also like I'm not gonna read the last names of these two patrons because I also like looked him up, and he's a lawyer at like a very prestigious smart firm, and I don't want to like cause him any problem. I don't know. I just having worked at white shoe law firms, like, I know all the weird shit they can get hung up on. So anyway, so our new patrons, big thank you to Mitchell and Kurt, two guys this week. Actually, this is the first that we have two male patrons. Ooh. I'm very, very excited about that. Okay, so now with that all out of the way, we can get into this clean person mystery. So let me set the stage here. I think you guys know that about a month ago, Maureen, that we did the Sex Lives show?
Yeah, I think so.
About a month ago, I was a guest on Maureen's podcast, Sex Lives, and we were answering, we were listening to questions that her listeners call in, and they leave voicemails, and they tell stories, or they ask questions, and it was sort of a combination of both of those things, all relating somehow to cleaning and sex or relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions was a very good question about masturbation and around etiquette. And in the course of us discussing the answer, we brought up something that I said, I think this actually might be true, but I haven't done a full deep dive into the research on this. So I'm not entirely positive. Mm-hmm. And I if I'd prepared for the show, I would have brought all my data in, but I didn't have all of that. So we decided to cut that whole section out of the episode of Sex Lives and save it for when Maureen was joining us back on Ask a Clean Person, the podcast, which is today, episode 69. We've been planning for this forever. And in the interim, in between that time, I was going to do the deep dive into the research, and I was going to prove one way or another if semen clogs a drain.
Yes.
So that is the mystery that we're going to be talking about today. But I want Maureen to paraphrase what the question was that led us to talking about this. Because then in the second segment, I actually transcribed the whole question. And I'm going to make Dave read it.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about the answers to how we would answer the question. Mostly because I've already asked Dave. And his answer really surprised me. So let's not spoil that. Let's have Maureen just sort of recap what the question was from your listener.
So it was a male listener, and he was calling about the etiquette of masturbating when you are a house guest, because he had a job where he would stay for sometimes like a week at a time or so at his various friends' homes. And he was just sort of figuring out that he's like, where is it polite to masturbate? Should I just not masturbate in their house? And I think that my instant reaction, I mean, we both, I think, were like, okay, yeah, you can masturbate in someone's house. It's just a matter of where and when.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And my instant reaction was in the shower because, you know, you're supposed to be doing whatever you do in the shower alone with the door shut. No one's going to bother you. No.
The water's
fear
running.
So weird noises. Yeah.
Sure.
And then Jolie jumped in with perhaps listeners have heard of this, that every like September, there will be some kind of like viral tweet, whatever the fuck, about colleges supposedly sending out letters advising young men to stop masturbating in the shower because they're clogging all the drains.
No, that's a thing?
Yes, you've never seen this?
I've never once seen a viral or any sort of like Northwestern's like stop cranking off in the dorm showers.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Okay, now here's the thing.
Well, wait, hold on a second. You have the show notes pulled up. If you tap on that Slate article that I have linked, you'll see they have photos of these fake notices.
Yes.
Fake?
Yeah.
Well. Oh, okay.
So,
the college dorm notices are definitely, they're jokes. They're not, they're okay. The maintenance is not putting them up. They're an ongoing like freshman dorm joke.
It's a good bit.
But the question of whether semen will clog a shower drain was still one that we weren't sure of the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I didn't really come to it from that, from the college dorm thing. I've come to it in different ways because
it's also funny because it's always the premise in all that like college dorm, whatever, frats, blah, 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 is always that like, did you know when like semen hits water, it turns into cement?
To cement.
It's always a reference to cement for whatever reason.
It is. And then you make the semen cement jokes.
Yeah.
So the thing is that I actually haven't quite come to it.
I get it.
That see, this is why I pay you the big bucks.
Sorry, I was just reading the things that are funny. It's like a big U.S. Amherst logo on the thing. That's unbelievable. The kids.
I have heard this over the years, not through the college dorm notices, but just sort of because it's out in the atmosphere. And I have been asked this, and actually where we dropped off in talking about it on Sex Lives that we ended up editing out was that I actually was asked to write a column about it for a publication that pulled a fast one on me. They were I didn't mean that. it's a long story to go into. So they had originally we had been set up to do this column, and then they had basically pulled a bait and switch on me, and I caught them, and I was like, Dave.
Sorry, man. Bait and switch. I'll
that's
stop.
Not, that has nothing to,
I'll
not,
stop.
That's
I'll stop.
Nothing to do with masturbation. And, oh, maybe it does. Oh, God, this whole episode is going to be a disaster. Sorry, you guys.
I'm sorry. Tell the story. I'll stop laughing.
And so anyway, so I had started down the path of researching this for this column that I was supposed to be writing. Then I pulled the column entirely, mm-hmm. and I didn't have any other place to be writing about this particular topic. So because I had started researching it, but I hadn't completed...
I don't get it.
No, it's not. That wasn't good. I don't know. I'm just trying to anticipate anything you're going to say.
It's not really a stroke of genius. Sorry. This is
no,
going to be like a two-hour episode.
It's going to be so long.
I'm just going to do this the entire time.
That's why I have you here. You know, I couldn't say I have an answer or not, but what I had seen, where I left off in the research, I had found some pretty compelling evidence that pointed to this being true. Now, the compelling evidence came from Reddit. So a thousand grains of salt have to come with that. And I knew I was not going to claim, like, yes, absolutely 100% this is true because I read it on Reddit. But, like, I have the explanation from Reddit that I am going to read to you, because when you read it, it is compelling and it sounds sciencey and real. and, you know, I was like, oh, I think this is true. Now, the other thing... this actually happened to me again last night. I am actually, now that we're doing a podcast about it, I am going to write about this. I am going to do a companion post about this. And I was talking to my editor last night, and I just said what the topic was, and he was like, "That's true." And I was like, "No, it's not." And before I could even get out, "No, it's not," he was like, "Not to like get super personal." This is an editor I've known a long time. He was like, "Not to get super personal or weird or anything, but like, I personally know that's true." And I was like, "No, you don't. Like, it's not true." And also,
wait, it's not.
It's not true.
You're all clogging your drains in so many other ways.
Yeah, it's not your So anyway, I've told you what the answer is, but that, which is fine, because we have a whole journey to take you
give
on.
Us yes. The Reddit science on it.
Okay, so
fuck Reddit science. Anyways,
r/science.
So before I get into the Reddit science, so here was the wrench that got thrown into things. So after we recorded this episode, Maureen went to do her fact checking, and she texted me and she was like, "Hey, I'm when we were doing the editing on the episode and I'm doing my fact checking," and she sends me the Slate article that says that the college dorm notices are all just a big joke, and actually that semen will not clog a drain. And they cited a urologist at Harvard Medical School, must be Harvard Medical School. So, and she was like, "I don't know." And I was like, "Listen, I used to be, my first job out of college was as a fact checker. I do not want you airing anything that I've said if it might not be true. And I can't say that it's true because I literally said on the episode, I haven't done all of the research in this. So just cut it out." And I was like, "But, you know, I've started the research into this topic and I found some compelling science behind it. And more importantly, Slate is not a publication that I will just accept as a red check, because Slate brings an agenda to much of which it writes."
What is the agenda of misinformation about jizz?
So
big jizz is getting all over this. They don't want you to know the truth.
I don't know, but I know that Slate's whole thing, and this isn't me making this up, this is the Slate thing. Like, Slate's thing is to be contrarian and to offer the Slate take. And I've seen, not in this particular instance, but in other instances, I've seen publications, this happens all the time, I've seen publications take scientific data and twist it in such a way that they can make some, like, clickbait-worthy headline out of.
Like, and global warming.
Yeah,
but,
I mean...
But jizz.
But jizz.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, because I've seen this happen in a thousand other places, and also because I know that Slate has this thing, this contrarian agenda of theirs, and that's fine. Like, if you know that going in, you're fine. I'm not going to accept something that Slate says So I use the term red check. I actually ended up, this whole thing took me in like a very weird thing. I ended up getting in touch with my boss from Sports Illustrated, which was, that was the first job out of college where I was the fact checker. I haven't talked to him in probably 18, 19 years, something like that. It was great to get in touch with him. We're going to go for coffee soon. To make sure that I was using this term correctly, red check was a term that we used to use at SI in fact checking to refer to a source that of it on its own was not infallible. Mm-hmm. A black check was a source that was infallible. An Encyclopedia Britannica would be a black check. An article in Slate would be a red check, and you need two red checks to equal a black check. So the Slate thing, I wasn't just going to accept this because Slate said it. I needed to find a backup source that would say the same thing.
That's interesting, and I wonder if the rules of engagement with red checks have changed.
Totally.
I was like, damn, I'm already plotting the misinformation that I can spread with the power of the red check.
Well, the thing is that fact-checking...
It's changed, I'm sure.
They have jizz inside Twinkies. That's I heard that. Maureen O'Connor had that or thing. It's got to be true.
At least two unreputable places by an unreputable journalist.
It's true. The thing is that the job that I did, my first job out of college doesn't exist anymore. I'm one of those people. Like,
fact checking still exists.
It still exists.
I get fact checked.
It still exists, but not in the way that it did.
It's different.
Yeah, it is different now.
And I don't think they literally use pens when they
Here's what you did when you fact checked. You took your article, you got a highlighter, you highlighted every single fact in it that needed to be checked, and then you went through and you literally struck through everything that you had checked, and you had to print out all your sources and you stapled them to the back and you had a folder. That's how you, every single week, fact check. I fact checked fucking TV listings at Sports Illustrated. That was how much we fact checked TV listings. Yep. Wow. And my TV listings guy is still at ESPN. I still see him on press releases, and I'm like, oh, Josh Gerlewitz, miss you, man. Anyway, here is the other thing about that Slate article. It was written by an intern.
I don't support intern shaming either.
I'm not intern shaming, but
I'm definitely intern shaming.
I know,
but I was definitely, not going to take it at face value.
Wow.
Okay.
You know who was an intern? Jesus.
Monica Lewinsky.
Oh wow! Again.
How in a jizz discussion? How are you leaving out Monica Lewinsky?
Maybe I was building that up for later to save the. Shoot out when the time
there
was right.
There it is.
I wasn't going to pull that out right away in the beginning. That's embarrassing.
You done?
Wait, hold on. A couple more drops. Finished.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah, they all do. okay, so we, as I said, Maureen and I decided we're going to delve into the literature. And report this one out. So I was very excited. I have done that. We have an answer. Obviously, we've already alluded to what the answer is, but there's even more. So here's the stuff from Reddit. Dave, do you want to read the stuff from Reddit, or do you want me to read it?
I can't believe you just read it over an intern.
I didn't trust Reddit. Wait, Maureen.
I just feel that I'm making important discoveries about my relative levels of what I trust and don't trust.
Back this train up, because that was an unfair malignment of me. I did not say,
I understand you.
I did not say that I trust Reddit. I actually said the total opposite. It came from Reddit, and I would never trust anything on Reddit. It was just that the explanation was so compelling that I thought, okay, I'm going to take
it
this.
It just got stuck in your brain.
I was I'm going to take this as a jumping off point, and I'm going to go find a medical doctor or a scientist and ask them to corroborate this. So that was what I was trying to do. It wasn't that I was trusting Reddit, because I would not trust Reddit. Reddit is not a red
check.
They're
all interns, too.
Yeah, well, but here's the problem. The bigger problem I have with Slate is that there is a clear agenda with Slate. You know that going in. It's fine. They state it. It's like Fox News. It's not unbiased. It's okay for
Slate.
Wait,
what? Really?
Yes, the contrary, the Slate take. But then when I got down to the end of it and I saw that so-and-so is an intern, I was like, well, it isn't an intern. There's another level on which I'm just not going to trust this on my own and state it as fact. So, okay, here's the Reddit thing. Dave, did you want to read the Reddit thing or do you want me to read it? It's a little bit
I was going to jump in, but if you don't want me to,
you're
the one who trusts Reddit, so you can do it.
I think you need a male voice if you're reading something from Reddit. You just do. It's a rule.
Right. And it's semen-based. It's a Reddit semen post, so I think
That's a dude job.
I'm bound by like man law to have to read this. Actually, there are two competing forces at work here. See, that already sounds sciencey. Competing forces. Semen is composed of sperm, water, and several proteins and enzymes. One protein is a coagulating protein, the purpose of which is to make sure that the semen stays in a mass inside the mate and doesn't run back out.
Wait, the mental image of like a bunch of like little sperms like jogging out.
Sperms unite! No, we lost Steve! Steve, no!
Like I'm imagining them in like little matching tracksuits. Like,
come on, let's be serious. This is science. This is Reddit science. One of the enzymes is a decoagulating enzyme, which is supposed to dissolve the coagulating protein after some time, releasing the sperm bound up in the coagulated mass. This person just discovered the word coagulated like a minute before they wrote this, I think. This combination dramatically improves the chances of impregnation. In the shower, the decoagulating enzyme gets washed away rather quickly, leaving behind the coagulating protein, thus instant spermy glue. Oh, Jesus. That's even too much for me.
Sidebar. I want to hear from the women on that. That did not faze me at all. I feel like women are so attuned to the occurrence of spermy glue.
Spermy glue didn't gross me out. Actually, the like massive coagulating running out, that was more evocative and upsetting to me. To be perfectly honest.
Like spermy glue. I don't know. Ugh. I just you know, use glue and it's just, I don't want to think about that while I'm doing it. As some have noted, the temperature is not critical, as some have noted. Like other people in the field have noted. Other Reddit scientists I've talked to have said.
I think other people in the thread were talking about whether if you jerk off in a cold shower, it won't happen versus a hot shower. That's what he's talking about.
Boy, God, guys are the biggest scientists in the world when they have to jerk off somewhere and not get caught. Like fucking MacGyver. Some have noted the temperature is not critical. However, how many times you've tried this in a day does matter. It takes time to produce the coagulating protein and everything else, but apparently especially the protein. After the first one or two tries? Like
meaning
loads.
After you've, yes.
Oh, like tries, like, I can't get done. I'll come back later. Like, what does that mean, tries? This guy's not a scientist. There's no way tries is a scientific term for jerking off. Christ. Your semen is going to appear much more watery, very little protein, and have a lot less cloudy whiteness, much less sperm whiteness. And of course, the younger you are, assuming you're past puberty, the faster you recover your stickiness. It starts off very doctory.
Yeah, right. It starts off, but that's why I said like it was just a starting off.
Your jizz factor at the end is probably going to be sticky-less. Wait, what? That's not a doctor. Nice try, buddy.
Okay, so like I said, that was the original research that I had done, and this was a couple of years ago that I had done this. So like that was basically about as far as I had gotten. It was just that I remembered this thing about this coagulating protein. The other thing that's kind of crucial to this. Is that the protein is a thing I know a lot about because of the job I do. Obviously, you guys all know that every time Maureen is here, we're hooting and
protein
hollering
stains.
About protein stains and, you know, jizz and zout and all of that kind of good stuff. But the other thing about protein when it's not the jizzy kind of protein, if you think about like egg residue, my ovary eggs, like chicken eggs.
Eggs you eat.
Yeah. If you leave, if you like make scrambled eggs in a pan and you just like leave the pan sitting around for a while, you eat your eggs and you go putter around and you come back and you try to clean the eggs off, they become like glue. Like they're really, really hard to clean once they've dried up and kind of hardened. I like paused. I was like, am I really going to have to say the word hardened on this show? Yes, I am. So because I know that, and that happens because of the protein in eggs, that's a protein thing. And so I was like, well, you know, it stands to reason that like, I already know this is protein and there's this sort of compelling description of coagulating proteins and so on and so forth. And
it's truthy. It has truthiness to
it. Yeah, and it feels right. The other thing is, you know, just like I was describing my editor's reaction when I was telling him about this, Maureen and I both, we're saying that we think that we've experienced this, that when we had, you know, men who were, you know, in our homes frequently or lived there, they were roommates or were dating them or whatever, that our showers were quite frequently backed up. And when they left, the drain was running clear again. And so we both sort of felt like we had anecdata to support the idea that this was true.
Well, I think I didn't think it was true at the time either, though, actually, because I'd actually read the Slate article is the only reason.
Oh, okay.
But it is true that, well, I was like, I don't know. Like, if, you know,
yeah, I
that
think we
you,
were both just like,
there was
we don't
confidence
know.
To it that yeah. I was like, okay, yeah. Because, I mean, as soon as somebody that you live with who you no longer want to live with leaves, that you're like, everything's better. The drains right. are clearer. The windows yeah. are, like,
everything
the
smells
sun is
better.
Shining better, you know, like,
it's
it all.
True.
And so I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably his fault that the drain was stopped up all that time.
Right. Yeah. Which my source actually gets into. So
yes.
we'll loop back to that. So, okay, let's read. There's a snippet of the Slate article that we should read. Dave, do you want to read this
okay.
section also? It's fast.
Abraham, what a name this guy has. This is a very good science name.
Yeah, it is.
Abraham Morgan Taylor, an associate professor of urology at Harvard Medical School and the director of Men's Health Boston, debunked the rumor for us once and for all. In an email to Slate, imagine being like a Harvard professor and you got to email Slate about like jizz drains. Like, God, can you?
Well, that's
somebody?
What I—that's what I just did. If you guys could see the emails that I was sending out to like the head of urology at NYU, like this was crazy.
Like he has like all these patients he's got to see. Hold on, I got to write back to Julie Care about jizz.
Well, they fucking love it.
He does. They do
love that.
They do love it, and he got right back to me.
Yeah,
it's such a fun, easy divertment for them. You know,
the
Yeah, and schooling us ignoramuses is like a fun, easy activity for them. and who doesn't like talking about jizz?
Right.
Come on.
Bunch of jizz noobs in my email.
That was a good one, Maureen. Come on.
It's true. Oh, I didn't even try that.
Oh, I wasn't even, I didn't catch
that
it.
That just happened.
What was
I
it?
Did. She said, who doesn't love talking about jizz? Come on.
I get it.
Yeah.
Come on. Okay. In an email to Slate, Morgan Taylor says that not only is semen never thick enough to clog a drain, but that 20 to 30 minutes after ejaculation, it will become a runny liquid and slide away.
Yeah. Now I'm picturing the jizz doing like the electric slide.
I'm picturing more like a slip and slide going down a mountain.
Oh, yuck.
Right into the lake. When a man ejaculates, the fluid first comes out like a gel with a certain amount of consistency that likely helps with fertility by allowing it to stay longer within the vagina than if it were a runny liquid. For this reason, a semen analysis is never performed immediately on a fresh specimen. The lab technicians need to wait until it becomes a liquid, which takes 20 to 30 minutes. Okay, I have a question. Does that mean someone's jizzing like right there in the lab and then they have to like stand there? Like everyone just waits for the jizz to do its thing for 20 to 30 minutes?
No, you just take a sample in a sample jar and it goes into the slide. Have you ever given a urine sample?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the semen sample. It just goes into the...
Yeah, but jizz comes out a little differently than the urine. So someone's like in the
It goes
the room.
Into a cup, Dave.
Yeah, but wait, you have to... we'll come
okay,
back.
Okay.
It's from the sample to like when they do the testing in the lab, right? That
the
they just
sample
can't do it
just
instantly.
Has to sit for 20 minutes. Not the person.
No, but I'm thinking like someone's in the room doing their thing for the lab people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they get done.
Yeah.
And they're just standing over the jizz waiting for it to do its thing for 20
minutes.
Oh, no,
they give it to them in gluey form, and then they wait for it
yeah.
to turn into liquid.
The scientists just wait until they give the
sample. It's like an immediate testing situation. You know what I mean? Like,
no, it's not. Okay.
No, you have to, right? If it takes 20 to 30 minutes have to go by. I feel like we're all on the same page, but we're all just saying it a different way.
Yeah, I think we probably
I don't think
are.
I know what you're asking, actually. Let's just move on.
Yes.
What is semen?
Well, Dave, when a man and a woman love each other very much.
Okay. As a rule, semen just isn't thick enough to clog a drain. And after a short while, he keeps using this term, it will become runny like water anyway. Who wants to go get some sunny side up eggs? Anyone? No?
Okay, so that all sounds good and right. But as I said, you know, it's a Slate article. It's only one source. A Harvard urologist is a pretty good source, but he's not a black check. He's a red check. There should have been two sources. I have two sources. Actually, I have three because I have Morgan Taylor. So I wanted to find my own sources. Now, I will tell you, right, we're going to have to go to a break in a second. But when we come back, I'll go through all my sources and we'll get this. I'll tell you before we go to the break. It is actually quite hard to find scientists to talk to about jizz. Like, I was asking all over the place. I finally got to the point where I crowdsourced on Twitter. And Twitter, thank you, Twitter. Twitter came to my rescue. Mm-hmm. I ended up with two really good sources, and I had backup if I needed them, which was really great.
So you basically had a load of information.
I sure did, Dave. Okay. I sure did.
That's good to know.
Okay, so this is a good time for us to take a quick break. Dave, Maureen, and I will be right back with more on this very jizzy mystery. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. Dave and I are joined by New York Magazine's Maureen O'Connor, and we have been talking about jizz. This is great, you guys. Man, this is the best job in the world. So good. Okay, so we left off at the point where I finally found sources of my own. The first, Dr. Joseph Alukal, is the director of male reproductive health at NYU School of Medicine. I want to give just a quick shout out. I'm not going to say her name because I know she likes to keep her sort of online and IRL stuff, church and state. But I just want to say, you know who you are. Thank you so much for your help and for the introduction to Dr. Alukal. He was great. I also, in Googling Dr. Alukal, he's you know, obviously he's a specialist in male reproductive health. He does a lot of work around vasectomies and reversals and so on and so forth. And he's known as like the sperm whisperer, which I think is so great. I know. I feel like we might like have him come on the show at some point as a guest. Like, I feel like he would just be a really good source guest. So I send him the question and he writes back and he says, "Hi, happy to help. I remember the Slate article. Urologists specialized in our field tend to send these kinds of things around. I also know Morgan Taller well. Turns out he's absolutely right. There's no chance it will clog a drain. Liquefaction after about 20 minutes is a well-described phenomenon."
All right.
So there we go. We've got that. Now, that to me, Morgan Taylor and Alukal, two red checks equals a black checks. I'm good to go. But in the meantime,
my question is, so what was clogging my drain in high school then?
I'm going to tell you.
Oh, good. I really want to know.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure it was me. I always assumed it was all this time, but...
Well, I mean, it was you. It just wasn't your jizz.
Are you sure? Because I was really in there a lot. I feel like it had to be me.
Well, it was you. It just wasn't your jizz.
How you say your? You emphasize it was someone else's jizz.
It might have been. I don't know. I don't know what you were doing in high school, Dave.
It wasn't your jizz.
You were playing
hockey.
It was
the dogs.
I don't know what goes on in those locker rooms. Yeah. I mean, locker rooms are very, like, homoerotic places. Like, there's all that, like,
are they
sex-based hazing and
I think you're thinking of locker rooms in 80s movies.
No, I'm not.
Also porno locker rooms.
No, I'm not.
Oh yeah, those are good ones.
Yeah.
Gym locker rooms, there's a lot going on in gym locker rooms.
Yeah, it's like 75-year-old dudes walking around with their dongs hanging out. Like, that's not really erotic.
Oh, you don't go in the steam room, do you?
No, but I've thought about it.
Yeah,
recently.
Maureen. Okay, well, have fun with that, Dave.
No,
Don't tell him. Don't tell him, Maureen. What? I just want him to go in and find out what happens in there.
No,
the steam rooms. Yeah. Well, I think it depends on your gym.
Yeah, my steam room is small. Like, I don't think you can fit more than like three people in there. Wait, what do you mean that's what she said? My steam room is small.
Is that
what you call it? A steam room?
All right, let's get back to the
yes.
Sorry.
So here's the other thing. In the meantime,
I had also been put in touch with Diane Kelly, who is a biologist who splits her time between studying sex and writing about science. Most recently, she was the lead writer for Throb, Gizmodo's site of name.
I was unprepared for that.
I send you the scripts beforehand so you won't get
I skim the letters, so I look for big words to make sure I can read them. That's all. It's more exciting this way for me to be in the moment. Throb.com.
Throb, which was Gizmodo's site about the science of sex. So,
it's so good, too.
Yeah.
I love that.
And Diana is great. So I sent her the same query that I had sent Dr. Olukol. And she also got back to me. So I want to include her response as well. So Diane says, so normally I focus on the structural mechanics of penis function.
Me that... too. Weird.
Me three. that is erection and how it works in different animals. But as it happens, I gave a theoretical talk about ejaculation at the APS Fluids meeting last November.
So fluids meetings.
So I have some papers in my files that you might find useful. And as a sidebar from Jolie, how do I get an invitation to the APS fluids meeting? Because I desperately want to go to that. I also found, when I was researching, and I ended up finding my own sources, so I didn't need to buy it, but I think I'm probably just going to buy it just to have it. There, I found a book on Amazon that was like, it was called something like Bodily Functions and How They Work. And it was just an entire book all about like every single different bodily function, how it works, why it works, like the evolution of it. And I was like,
and you would love that.
It's my, that's like bathtub reading for me. It's perfect. Perfect. If I wasn't so busy watching Vanderpump Rules
fluids
in the bathtub,
I'd be
reading about various bodily functions and why they exist. Okay. So back to Diane's response to me. As you may have already found out, semen isn't simple. I also know that. I have personal experience with that. There are sperm cells for sure, but they're suspended in a fluid with a complex cocktail of ions, sugars, and proteins.
Ooh.
Some of these molecules act as coagulants, others as liquefiers. And their behavior was pretty well characterized back in the 1980s. Shortly after ejaculation, semen coagulates into a gel, possibly to maximize its time next to the cervix, but over the next 5 to 30 minutes, it liquefies. Since the papers say it liquefies equally well in vitro tests as in vivo, I expect that even if some semen got washed into a shower drain in the gel phase, it'd be liquefied before its source finished shaving. Best Diane. I thought that was so great. I really
That's loved a lovely
Diane's,
way to put it.
Diane's response. Now, one other thing, just to go back to Dr. Olukol's response to me, was that in my note to him and as well into Diane, I mentioned this anecdata that you and I both had about we feel like we have experienced this in our own lives when men were using our showers regularly and then and then we're not.
And ruining everything.
And that the drain...
We're sorry.
...was never... you're not. You're unrepentant.
Oh, my God. I'm begging for forgiveness.
Okay,
on behalf of all men.
No, I don't believe it. Yeah, you're like slate. You have an agenda.
I do think that women probably clog drains more than men. Like, I think I probably wreak more havoc on like the drains of men, just because like, I have more hair than most dudes.
Well,
I date.
Here. So here's the thing, that Dr. Olukol said, and I cut it out of the original note, but actually, since Dave is insisting that he was clogging his own drain,
I feel like I was.
I know you feel like you were, and I'm telling you, you were. It was just not your semen that was doing it.
So what was it?
So what? This actually might be too personal for you. What Dr. Olukol said was he was like your roommate, meaning the anecdata that I had told him about. He was like your roommate may have been losing his hair and not saying anything about it. It's a very sensitive subject among men. And then he like added, he was like, I'm as bald as a billiard ball. I can talk about it. So that's one thing. And in thinking of this, so I don't actually think that was what was going on in my particular situation. I don't think that was what's going on in Dave's situation in high school. But what I do think is the difference between the hair that men and women are basically sending down their drains is that women tend to have longer hair. And most of us are using drain catchers. And even if we're not, the longer hair, will sort of wind its way. If you know what a drain mechanism looks like, it is sort of a very like thin, long, like cable that goes down, and the hair will wrap around that. And so the long hair will kind of wrap around. But if you have short hair, and there's more of it, and men have body hair in addition to the hair that's on their head in a way that women tend not to in terms of what we're shedding off in the shower. I think that it's actually a function in the length and the coarseness of the hair that's going down the drain. That's being combined with the products that we're using in the shower, which are oftentimes quite viscous and can combine with hair and our skin and our body oils and all of that. And possibly also with some of that semen that you're letting out in the shower, that the semen it's maybe catching in with all of the hair and the soap scum, and it's just a lot of
stuff
going on down there. So it's not that the semen will clog the drain, it's that it's part of everything that's going down there that's contributing to a clog. But I think that we have to say definitively that we know that it's not the semen doing it, because we now have two clearly well, highly trained and well-respected urologists, one from Harvard and one from NYU. I mean, like, you can't really get a whole lot better than those two sources. And we have a biologist, and they're all saying the same thing. And, I mean, Diane literally did send me the papers. Like, she attached these, like, medical papers, which was great. So there you have it. You can totally jerk off in the shower. It's really
finally.
It's really fine. Yeah,
I'm free.
Okay. So now that we have solved this clean person mystery, and we can send you out in the world to jerk off in showers with impunity. I know where Dave's going immediately after the show.
I'm already there mentally.
Oh, I was like, oh God, no. Remember, as I reminded you 2 weeks ago, there is a shower here.
Oh, right.
Oh God.
Just give me like 5 minutes.
We actually should have just been recording in there.
This would have been our first explicit episode.
It's not our first explicit episode. Every episode is explicit.
Do we have the E-Next Star thing on iTunes? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we? I didn't think we did.
Yeah, we do. So. It's not on the show description. It's on the individual episode. If it's not, it needs to be.
Oh, right.
We are children, Dave. We do not behave ourselves at all. That's
I'm very
okay.
Immature.
That's okay. It's my show. I can act like a child if I want. Okay. So we want to back up to the question that sent us into this very jizzy rabbit hole. And
a jizzy rabbit hole.
When I can make Maureen go, ugh, I've done well.
Like, I'm picturing Roger Rabbit and like Jessica Rabbit. Yeah. That's what came to mind right away.
It's going every weird direction. All right.
Roger Rabbit 2, the Jizzy Rabbit Hole.
Oh, God. I would go see that movie. I'd go see that movie in the theater. Okay. So we want to loop back to the original question and talk about the etiquette and politics of where to come. And for longtime listeners, if that sounds familiar to you, it should be, because The Complicated Politics of Where to Come is the title of a great article that Maureen wrote in 2015 that we talked about the very first time you came on this podcast.
Oh.
Yes.
So, I can't believe that was 2 years ago.
It's crazy, right? It was September of 2015 when you came on for the first time. Huh. It was. If you guys want to go back and listen to me, I came on. It's called, the episode title is Come On My Podcast.
I know. It was just, you were just like going back and forth between the two different ways you can use come, and it was just funny.
No. Oh. So. It's episode 14. If you guys want to go back and listen to that, it was good. It was a really, it was
Leave
a fun. I did actually listen to the like first little section of it, and we were really good. Just, you know, we're great, Maureen. What can I say?
Yeah.
Okay. So I went back to the Sex Lives episode and I transcribed the guy's question.
Okay.
Let's have little Dave. I think you got to read this one too.
Yeah. I feel like this is on me, isn't it? Yeah. I love how it begins too. The extra word there. I enjoy masturbating frequently. That's how it starts. By the way, someone's going to like clip that audio and isolate it and put it on Twitter. Yeah. I enjoy masturbating, frequently. As in, usually once a day. If not once a day, then once every 2 to 3 days. So if I'm staying at someone's house for like a week, there's going to be a moment there where I sort of feel like I need to masturbate. So how would you recommend going about that without being super weird and literally realizing that you're masturbating in someone else's house? Any suggestions would be welcome, because this is a little bit of a nightmare to figure out otherwise. But it's what a tough life this guy has. Staying in people's houses and you got nowhere to crank it. Help. He actually wrote to a podcast to get help how to beat off in someone's house.
He called in. Even better, he called in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was what I was saying. I transcribed it.
Someone's listening and they're like, is that Kevin from accounting? Did he stay at your place last summer?
Well, there was the other guy who was calling and leaving the voicemail when he was out on the street.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end of it, he was like, I just realized that I'm leaving this on the street. So people must be like,
everyone's staring at me.
I forget what the question was, but I remember that.
I can't remember which one
that
was either.
Okay, so we wanted to. So obviously now you can understand how Maureen and I, like, the first thing we were like, we'll do in the shower.
Right. Like, and my first answer was just go 3 days without jerking off. Like, that's
right.
You can do it.
So yeah, so it surprised me.
The guy staying at someone's place for a week, like, yeah, you got to take care of business at some point. But like 3 days, like, you can go 3 days.
You know, the other thing though that I think we did not address, or I didn't even realize until now, hearing you reread that question,
sorry,
is that he's also asking for advice on like himself not feeling weird while he does it. Right? I didn't consider that. Like, sometimes staying at someone's house is a weird, like, you don't feel. I don't know.
Yeah, like,
there's something about. Like, masturbating is such a statement of privacy in a way that, like, there's, like, this is, like, my private space to do whatever I want in. Mm-hmm. And, like, that feeling I can see, not working out when you're staying, depending on who you're staying with and under what circumstances.
Which is why I feel, I mean, listen, I'm really actually thrilled about this shower answer that we have now that we can definitively say it's fine. Because actually, really, the shower is the right place to do it. Like, you don't have to work. So here's a question for the group. For me, the biggest issue is the sound issue, that you don't want people to hear you. So if you're in the shower, like, the sound is automatically going to be muffled. So that takes that whole thing off.
Well, it depends how noisy of a masturbator you are, I suppose.
I sing while I do it, so no one knows.
Yeah. The masturbation song?
It's usually the Friends theme song.
I was just going to say, it's usually talking about Friends.
John's a joke, bro.
I'm scared that I know Dave's Matt go-to masturbation song.
It's never the extended version either.
We spend too much time together. I've got to fire you from this show.
It's like you're always stuck in gear.
No. Oh, I hope not. I would be very frustrating and perhaps uncomfortable for the men.
Yeah. I'll be there for you. Sorry, I was just thinking about. I was going to do later when I get home.
I know. I'm like, don't get carried away over there. So I feel like the shower is the right place for it, because you're expected to be in there. Everyone takes different, like, length shower, so no one would really know. Maybe you're just a long shower taker,
or it's like a super short shower. Everyone knows what you did. There's no way you're clean.
I think the dead of the night is fine too, if one prefers that, or doesn't, you know, if being in a bathroom makes you also feel weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Blindfold yourself.
I think just anywhere where you have a door shut. Yeah. Like, if you're sleeping on someone's sofa in their living room, I feel like that's a bad situation, right?
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, you just need to be in a place with a door that shuts.
Okay, that is a very good rule. Door that shuts.
We're going out to get bagels. You want anything? No, I'll stay back. How long are you going to be? 10 minutes? Plenty of time.
Perfect
for what? Nothing?
Nothing. Okay, what about... Oh, wait. Dave, since I stepped on your story when you were telling it on the bonus episode, do you want to talk about humiliating your other podcast co-host
asking
him this?
Yeah, so like that day, so we did that podcast that week, and you were like, where would you masturbate if you were staying at someone's place for a weekend? And I was like, I just hold it in for a weekend. And you were like, oh my God. So my other podcast,
do that impression of me again.
What did I do? I don't even know what I did.
I don't know. It's funny.
Did I do something?
Oh my God. Like your little Jolie voice.
No, look at me. I'm Jolie. I'm from Boston. I don't know. I got to work on it. I'll get it better for next week.
Okay, thank you.
So at the end of our other podcast, I was like, so here's a question that was posed to me. Let me pose it to you. If you're staying at someone's place for a weekend, you know, where do you jerk off? And he was like, I mean, like, into something? I'm like, no, like the room. And he was like, I don't know, like probably the bedroom I'm staying in. Like, where he's like, where would you do it? And I was like, I just wouldn't do it. He was like, you fucking set me up and then I jerk out in someone's house? And I was like, no, that was really my answer like 3 days ago. I didn't really set anybody up or anything. So Yeah.
I was really proud of that. I think that was a very well done. Well played, Dave.
I was like Vincent D'Onofrio on Criminal Intent getting the confession without even like really just trying to do it.
Do it.
Just like, yeah, just leaning over. This is where you do it, isn't it? I didn't mean to do it. I just wanted to. Yeah, whatever. Get out of here. But yeah, if you're in there for a week.
Yeah. So I think, Maureen, you're absolutely right. As long as you have a door. So the shower is fine because you don't have to worry about clogging it up. Soundproof door, all that stuff. If you're in a bedroom with a door, that's fine. Or like an office on an air mattress with a door, as long as there's a door.
Closet.
And you go hide in the closet. Yourself, you know, don't like jizz on someone's sheets. That's too much.
Yeah. So then that's the other thing that like you also need to think about where like, yeah, the jizz has to go somewhere, and it should not go somewhere that is in any way, shape, or form left behind for your host.
Yes. I mean, garbage is, you know.
Yeah.
You're allowed to put things in garbage cans.
So
but.
go stand in the kitchen and jerk off over the garbage can.
That is the one stressful thing. You got to watch to see where it goes. Like, if it lands on, like, someone's, like, shampoo bottle, you know, you got to be aware of that so you can.
Yeah, but they'll just think it's a blurb of conditioner.
Now we're getting into, like, there's something about Mary territory.
Yeah, but it's good. But here's the thing. It's fine because it's good for your hair and your skin. Like, if I accidentally was, like.
Not like in the bottle. I mean, like on the like. On
I know.
Something.
I understand what you mean. Like, I understood that.
You touch it, and then,
right? You know. But they're just going to think it's like a dribble of shampoo or conditioner.
No, I'm still not okay with that. Yeah. No one's allowed to.
But you won't know
my shampoos.
No, but you won't know.
Well, I wouldn't know, but I still don't want it to happen.
How about we do a test?
Okay.
There are plenty of times like you don't know that the waiter spit in your food, but you would prefer to imagine he didn't.
that's what I'm saying. I don't think you guys really need to worry all about that because we like.
You probably won't get caught. Yeah.
If you're the host, what you don't know won't hurt you. In fact, it'll probably make your hair look lovely and shiny. And if you're the guest, like there's always plausible deniability around semen in a showering situation because it looks like other shower products.
And also, who's gonna like j'accuse? Like you, master. Like no one's gonna do that to you. What kind
also
of jerk?
That.
Dave, can I talk to you for a minute? Sure, what's up?
Did you masturbate?
I noticed that the walls of the bathroom had some sort of substance in like a spray pattern. What were you doing in there by chance? I sneezed like four times.
I mean, look, Dave, all through high school, you had a clogged up shower drain. Your mom never confronted you about it.
No.
People don't bring this up. Like,
right. That's why I just assumed it was just like a thing that happened.
What were you doing in high school about the drain? Like, did you tell your parents? Did you just bathe in knee high water like me in college?
What do you mean?
Did you like invest in Drano and you're just Dranoing your own drain?
Oh, no. I just did my thing and then that was the end of it. There was no what do you mean? Like,
how did you deal with the fact that the drain was constantly backed up? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, I didn't.
You just showered in ankle deep water.
Oh, not never. Like in the moment, was it like backed up?
Oh.
Like I meant like, you know, like you would like run the water like a couple days into the month, and you'd be like, why is it not going down? And then I would just assume it was because I was a gross.
It was.
Boy. That's what it was.
It like, was.
Right. If it backed up while I was in there.
It had nothing to do with your semen. It's just you being a gross.
I feel like my semen might be so powerful that perhaps it could actually do it.
It probably is.
We don't know for sure. This like I may have like superhero semen.
We can solve two problems. We'll send you down to the semen lab. You can find out what goes on in there and how long you're hanging out with your semen sample for 20 minutes. How that all goes down and then you can find out that you have supersonic semen.
Super coagulating.
Yeah.
Like that's the fear.
Like some superheroes can fly.
Really coagulate.
That's it.
Oh, what a gross word.
The coagulator to the rescue.
I really
help.
Like...
The ship is sinking. How are we going to patch the hole? I'm here.
Oh, my God.
The Titanic could have been saved if only I had been on the boat. Oh, what a shame. Tragedy could have been averted. Oh, well.
Oh, my God. All right, well, that's probably a good note to end on. I can't imagine how we're going to top Dave saving the Titanic through the power of his ejaculate.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Oh my God.
Somewhere boxer briefs is all I'm saying. That keeps everything.
Ew, I've learned so much about you today.
Yeah, good show. Good content.
It's been really great. All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you like what you heard today, if you didn't like what you heard today, you are already long gone. So if you're still with us, thank you. Clearly you did like what you heard today. Please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards we're offering to our listeners. We would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so very much. A big, big, big thank you to a friend of the show, Maureen O'Connor, the Sex Lives columnist at New York Magazine, for joining us for this incredibly spirited and educational episode. Maureen, we loved having you. We hope you'll come back. And of course, thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Yay!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.